Good morning. It is great to be here. I want to thank Carl for the selection of songs, and I want to thank our brother for his prayer. I'm going to need your prayers this morning, especially with these new glasses on. So hopefully I can see my notes well enough to share them in a way that where we can understand at least a couple things that we can take away from here that will make us to be better Christians. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take just a few moments, and we're going to talk about Jonah. And what I want to do this morning is I want to share with you his story. And so since we're talking about Jonah, let's dive into the Word of God, and let's turn to Jonah chapter 1, and let's read verses 1 through 17. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up, call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us, so that we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all of this trouble for us? What kind of work do you do? Where do you come from? And what is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and made the dry land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm for us? Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord, "Please, Lord, do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man. For you, Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. In verse 17, now the Lord provided a huge fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. So what do you know about Jonah? Jonah is one of the all-time Vacation Bible School characters. And although Jonah's journey is a children's favorite, there is many lessons in these four small chapters of Jonah that adults can take away from here that can encourage us to be better Christians. The book of Jonah is a well of a story, but it's not about a well. The book of Jonah is not even about Jonah. The book of Jonah is about God. And Jonah was a minor prophet. Okay? A prophet was someone who spoke on God's behalf. And Jonah spoke to the northern kingdom, or Israel, around 750 BC. The book of Jonah, if you were to research it and go to it, you will see that it only has four chapters. And in that four chapters, it only has 48 verses. And so that's where that minor prophet comes in, is because Jonah, the book of Jonah, is a very small book. And so Jonah, I guess his conversation that God had him to speak was very limited and very short. And so that is why he was actually considered a minor prophet. And out of 45 of the 48 verses, what you will notice if you read the book of Jonah is that those 48 verses, the 45 verses out of the 48 verses, tell the real story of Jonah. And can you imagine, since childhood, when we think of Jonah, we think about the whale and we think about that children's story. But only three verses in the whole book of Jonah talk about the big fish. There's more to the story than just a fish. The book of Jonah consists of a little over 1,300 words. The word Nineveh, and Nineveh was the place that God told Jonah to go preach. It's mentioned in the book of Jonah 9 times. Jonah's name is mentioned in the book of Jonah 18 times. And the word God is mentioned 38 times throughout the book of Jonah. So what I want to do is just kind of give you a summary of those four chapters in just a few words. In Jonah chapter 1, you will see that Jonah is running from God. And then Jonah chapter 2, you will see that Jonah's praying to God. And then in Jonah chapter 3, you will see that Jonah is speaking for God. And then in Jonah chapter 4, you will see that Jonah is very angry and he is pouting. The story of Jonah, if you read these four chapters, and it takes probably about 20 or 30 minutes to read it, but if you sit down and read these four chapters, you will find, once you finish chapter 4, you just feel like there's a lot of unanswered questions. You just feel like, you know, you want to hear Paul Harvey because you want to hear the rest of the story. So basically, some of the questions after reading these four chapters, you know, that I came up with, and there's probably others that you could come up with, but just two very simple questions that I thought about throughout my study over the last couple of weeks for this lesson was, you know, did Jonah truly repent? And was Jonah truly saved? And in the text that we read, there's not really a lot of information that really addressed those questions. The book of Jonah is about God strongly encouraging a group of people that's very, very rebellious. And he's encouraging them to repent from their wicked ways. That's kind of the focus of the book of Jonah. And if you look at the book of Jonah through the eyes of Jonah, here's some of the things that you are going to actually see. You're going to see some anger. You're going to see some rebellion. You're going to see some disobedience. You're going to see some selfishness. And then guess what? Another thing that you're going to see is you're going to see a faithful servant of God until God asked Jonah to get out of his comfort zone. He was on fire for God when he was in his hometown. But when God told him to get away from that hometown and go preach in an area that you don't know anything about, Jonah just kind of, he rebelled. And when you read the book of Jonah, you will see how much he did rebel. And so if you look at the book of Jonah through the eyes of the Ninevites, you will see wickedness. You will see repentance. And that was why Jonah was actually told to go preach over there, is to get these people to repent. And you will also see a group of people that was very happy, especially when they received God's love and His mercy and His compassion and His forgiveness. Those people were jumping up and down for joy when they obtained those three things. And so if you look at the book of Jonah through the eyes of God, what you are going to see is you're going to see God's love, you're going to see His mercy, you're going to see His compassion, and you are going to see His forgiveness. Many times, for the Ninevites and for Jonah, and a characteristic of Jonah and the Ninevites, from me reading the text, was that both of them were kind of a group of people that were sometimes unlovable. They were very difficult to deal with. And guess what? God still showed them a lot of compassion and love and mercy and forgave them. A group of small children summarized the book of Jonah in just 3 points. And so if we were to break these four chapters down to just 3 ideas... This is what these children said that Jonah means to them. Number one, you must obey what God tells you to do. That's just plain and simple. You got to do what God says. The second thing that these children said was that no matter how bad you are, God still loves you. God used a lot of people throughout the Bible that had a lot of baggage. He used a lot of people that wasn't perfect. And so guess what? I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And God can use us too. And the last thing that these children came up in their definition of what the book of Jonah meant to them was, God is everywhere and you can't play hide and seek with Him. You will never be able to hide from God. And so I think those are 3 very valuable lessons, and Scripture tells us that we need to be like children. And so these are some 3 takeaways that we can take away today that can help us to be better Christians. Since the book of Jonah, we've been talking about the main focus of the book of Jonah is about repentance. And we know that repentance means that we change our lives. As Christians, we're different. Not perfect, but we're just different. So if you were to go to Luke chapter 13, in verse 5, it says, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will die. So repentance is a very, very serious topic that we really need to think about. We really need to think about the life that we're living. And are we a changed group of people? And if God's not changed us and we haven't repented and we're not different, we need to do it. Because the consequences of not repenting, it can cause someone to perish. So, I got a question And these questions that I share with you are for me too. What motivates you to obey God when He tells you to do something, especially when you don't want to do it? What motivates you to obey God when He asks you to do something and you refuse to do it? And then the next question is, how much are you and I like Jonah? How much are you and I like Jonah? And so here's some of the things that can give us a better picture for us to be able to see if we're like Jonah. Number one, do you avoid sharing the good news outside of your comfort zone? And if that is yes, you could be like Jonah. Do you struggle with anger management issues where you even want to not live? If that is a yes, you're like Jonah. Do you run to God in the good times? If you do that, you could be like Jonah. And do you play hide and go seek with God in the bad times? You could be like Jonah. Are you selfish at times? If so, you could be like Jonah. And then are you disobedient at times? If so, you could be like Jonah. I don't know about you, but I know that when I look in the mirror, sometimes I see Jonah. Because the human side of us as Christians, we struggle with sin. And sometimes I see a lot of these negative things even in my own life. And that's why I need to constantly be in a mode of repentance, in a mode of change, and thinking about doing things a little bit better. So what about you? So when you read the book of Jonah, it is extremely important to see that this book is more about the size of our God instead of the size of the big fish. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through the book of Jonah. We're not going to read all four chapters, but I've went through all four chapters and kind of here's an abbreviated version of it. That where I picked out some of the highlights that where we could see what's going on in these four chapters. The first thing we know, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. And instead, he decided to get on a boat and travel in the opposite direction. And then a big storm began. And during that great storm, Jonah was thrown overboard. And next, the sea became calm. And following the storm, Jonah received a free three-night stay at, guess where? The Whale Motel. So while in the big fish, Jonah prayed for 3 days. And after the 3 days of prayer, the big fish spit Jonah onto dry land. Then God told Jonah to go to Nineveh for the second time. So he didn't listen the first time, but the second time he listened. And he went and he preached. And God asked Jonah to tell the Ninevites that he should preach about the judgment was coming very soon. He didn't tell him, I want you to go over there and preach about my love, my compassion, my mercy. He said, I want you to tell these people, because they're so wicked, I want you to tell them that my judgment is coming soon. And so he did that very thing, and the Ninevites, guess what they did? They repented. They changed from their wicked ways. And this is kind of, this next item, it's kind of hard to swallow. And that is Jonah getting so angry when a group of people repent and change and want to be like the Lord. Why would we get to a point where we're angry at these people repenting and changing their lives and God loving them and giving him his compassion and mercy? But Jonah got so mad about this that, as we've said a couple of times, that he basically wanted to take his own life because God was showing the Ninevites the love and compassion. And next, God provided Jonah a comfortable and shady place for him to go. And this is just me thinking out of the box, for him to get his head straight. You know, it didn't say that. I made that up. But I'm just thinking that, hey, God provided him a place for him to, hey, let's get it together. And due to Jonah's rebellion, God destroyed that shady place that he had. God rained on Jonah's resort experience. And guess what he did? He made it very, very hot. And I don't know about you, but I am from Georgia where it gets very hot. And when you get outside during the summertime, you can learn some valuable lessons out there in that heat. But God was trying to teach Jonah, I guess, a lesson of who's in charge and that he needed to change. And Jonah, once again, toward the last couple of verses of even the chapter, that's why this book of Jonah is very, very challenging because of the way that it ended. It's kind of like going to the movie theater and you pay $50 for your family to go watch this movie that you've been waiting to see for 6 months. And then all of a sudden, at the end of the movie, the projector breaks with like 10 minutes left. And you didn't get to see the rest of the story. And that's kind of what I felt like reading the book of Jonah, is that I just felt like, hey, after I read chapter 4, it's like, I want to know more. But guess what? It was not there. But like Jonah, our hearts can get hard too and heavy with the baggage and the struggles that we have in life. And guess what? It can get in the way from us sharing the good news with others. Paul Harvey, I know I said we want to hear the rest of the story. You know, he said something that was very meaningful. In my research, he had a quote that said, "Too many Christians are no longer fishers of men." But he said, "Instead of being fishers of men, we have become keepers of an aquarium." And so, in Matthew chapter 9, verses 36 and 37, we're going to see where the harvest is plentiful and the labors are few. And I would like to read that. It says, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like the sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful and the labors are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest.'" Since the harvest is plentiful and the labors are few, I want to encourage you and I both, not just you, this is for me too, for you and I both, to get out of our comfort zones and catch the hearts of men and women and children with the good news. And so, a question that I want to address for a couple of minutes is, what is your Nineveh? What's stopping you to get out of your comfort zone to go share Jesus with others? Nineveh, as far as a location, it would, I guess, be considered our modern-day Iraq. It is not a place where you want to take your family on a vacation. Okay, so you got to get out of your comfort zone if you want to go to Nineveh. And it's not a place where you want to take your family for a picnic. So Nineveh also can be the things that God loves and the things that you hate. That could be your Nineveh. Nineveh also could be anything that's very wicked and unlovable, and going to that population of people and trying to reach them. Nineveh is a place where God asks you and I to go make disciples instead of just wanting to go in places that we feel good and comfortable in. Nineveh is sharing Jesus in areas of low income where you don't feel comfortable. Nineveh is going to places where there's a language barrier. Nineveh is getting ourselves sometimes in a diverse population of people that we've never been around before. Nineveh is going to places where there's poor living conditions. And Nineveh could be going to places where there's no padded pews and air conditioning. Nineveh could be going to a place where there's very little or no security. And Nineveh could be God calling us to do the unimaginable so that He can do the incredible. So I want to say that one again. Your Nineveh could be God calling you to do the unimaginable so that He can do the incredible. So when we think about, you know, hey, what is your Nineveh? What is my Nineveh? We need to do it a self-examination and find out what our Ninevehs are. And let's come up with a plan of action to get out of our comfort zone for the message of Christ to be shared with others. And the Word of God says that we should preach the Word of God in season, in and out of season. And what that means is, guess what? We've got to preach it when it's not comfortable. We got to preach it when it's out of our comfort zone. We got to preach it when it's not popular. We got to preach it when it's in places of danger. We have got to preach it with our family. We've got to preach it with our friends. We've got to preach it with our coworkers. And guess what? We've got to preach it even with strangers. So are you willing to get out of your comfort zone to go into all the world to make disciples in all nations? Because as Christians, that's what we are told to do. We are told to evangelize the world. And guess what? When evangelism takes place, it requires someone to go. You got to go. And how would the world hear about Jesus if no one goes? So in order for Jesus to be heard around the world, we all got to go. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. We've heard this one probably many times, but it's something that we need to think about frequently. Because this is why we exist, and this is why the church exists. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority is in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." And Mark 16, verses 15 and 16 says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, and whoever does not believe will be condemned." And Luke 19 and verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." The book of Jonah is filled, as we said a little bit earlier, with a lot of unanswered questions. But I can tell you something that's very clear that all of us will be able to see. Even if you got on some new glasses, you'll still be able to see it. And that is, God loves everybody unconditionally, and He wants everybody to be saved. Those are the two things that we can walk away from today, knowing that God loves everybody and He wants everybody to be saved. And so the question might be asked, what do we got to do to be saved? Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38 says, "When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" This morning is a great time for any of us to repent, and it's a great time for any of us, if we have not been baptized into Christ, for the remission of our sins for us to do that. And guess what else? It's also a great time if you have been struggling, running away from God like Jonah. Today is a great time for you to come and ask your church family to help you to run toward God instead of away from Him. And so if there's anyone here that would like to respond to God's invitation, please come together while we stand and sing.